The demons are going to try to find a loophole. You know, the more you're executing your authority properly, the more the demons like have to obey. There's no loopholes they can hide in.
You know, I love that you brought up the story of Joseph, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. But one of the things that is amazing with Joseph's story is that not only did he go through those things, but those things prepared him to have the authority that he was going to be then entrusted with. Let's talk about the parallel with authority and anointing, because those are things that you speak very passionately about. And I want to hear your perspective on authority and anointing and how they work hand in hand.
Yes. So the anointing, first of all, what it is simply the power of God that God entrusts to a vessel, like we see in Elijah and then Elisha and Moses and Joshua and Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter and all the apostles. They carried power of God. And it's a higher, there's different measures of the Holy Spirit. Like there's the Holy Spirit we receive upon salvation, then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then there's the anointing, which is specifically for the ministry, for the destroying of yokes, for the healing of the sick. And you have to be trustworthy with that, because that's concerning other people's lives and it's real power, and we're given free will. Mm-hmm. So God has to make sure you're trustworthy. You can be untrustworthy, but have the measure of the Holy Spirit upon salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that's just for your own spiritual life, you know? Mm-hmm. But the anointing's different. So that's what the anointing is. And the anointing, when God gives anointing, authority is in that anointing. So it's like when God's like, I want to anoint you, like I want to use you as a vessel to walk in authority over demons, so walk in a higher level of authority. That's what it means. Like him entrusting you with anointing is also like a lifting in the spiritual realm. All believers are given authority in Christ, but we have to be entrusted to have authority over other people's lives. Mm-hmm. It starts with authority for our own spiritual life, like the devil attacking us, the weapons forming against us, and we reject the devil, we resist him, we have authority over him. But we have to be entrusted by God for authority over others' lives. So when you're given the anointing, you're also given authority, a higher level of authority. And that's what Jesus says to the disciples. He says, after they, when they cast out demons, he says, I have given you all authority over all powers of the enemy. So he's like revealing them to them the secret. He's like, yeah, those demons just obeyed you because I have given you authority, a high level authority that these demons recognize and see that they have to obey you. And so, and that's just, I mean, when you're talking about the relationship between like anointing and authority, that this is a secret of what makes demons go. What makes demons go is, number one, that they see that you have this authority over them. They see that you've been entrusted by God himself with this higher level authority over them. This anoint and the power that will destroy the yoke, that will make them go. And then number two, when they see that you know you have the authority, because we can believe the devil's lies sometime. We can be given that anointing and authority, but we can, you know, be fooled by the devil, and the devil can lie to us. I mean, even if a demon manifests in a person and screams in your face and contorts the face in a spooky way or something, you know, if you're not spiritual, if you forget, if you believe the devil's lies, you can be fooled and you could back away and not execute your authority simply because you don't really know or have faith in the authority that was given you. So you have to also know the authority that you have. And then number three, what makes demons obey is when you are executing your authority properly. Kind of like how the teacher that's going to have the most kind of respect is going to be the teacher that knows his or her authority over the children. When one really knows their authority and doesn't like waste energy or freak out or something when the children are misbehaving, when they walk in the room, the children will just become silent because they have that respect, because that person really knows their authority and is walking in the authority properly. An example of this could be like, you know, Peter, his anointing and authority, it was real. It was high level that the demons, when he walked by, it says the shadow would just touch people mm-hmm. that were oppressed and sick, and the demons and the sickness would just leave people. Now he knew his authority and he was walking in it properly, where he wasn't like, okay, we're going to have a 10-hour prayer session where you're going to line up in a long line and I'm going to pray for each of you one-on-one to command each demon to go. That's not how authority works. When the president issues one command, all the citizens know they have to obey it. He doesn't have to send millions of people to every home and reissue the command, right? That's how authority works. And so that's what Peter was doing. I mean, he could have just said, as I walk by, every demon has to leave every person that's here. And so when you really have authority, you don't have to exert physical effort so much. Mm. That's what I mean by you need to execute your authority properly to get the most respect from demons so that they obey. True. What I mean is like, the demons are going to try to find a loophole and try to find a way to fool around, or try to find a way that a person, a minister, is not going by the principles of the spiritual realm, of the kingdom of God, the principles of authority. And so the more you're walking like Peter, you know, the more you're executing your authority properly, the more the demons like have to obey. There's no loopholes they can hide in.
So if there's a proper way to execute authority or to govern, to use that authority, tell me about the improper way and what are the signs that we need to stay away from?
So the improper way, I mean, there could be many, but let me start with one would be, you know, how there's a story in the Bible of the sons of Sceva where they were just trying to copy what they were seeing the Apostle Paul do. And they were calling in the name of Jesus to cast out demons. And the demons, they could see that he didn't really have the authority over them. But they were believing in the name of Jesus. They really believed. It's not that they were like, you know, trying to fool around. They believed that there was power in the name of Jesus. But they didn't really have the authority, the true authority over them. So you have to make sure that you're not like being dangerous with how you're casting out demons. Like slow down and go, make sure you're going by God's principles and focus on surrendering to God so that he can entrust you with anointing. And when it's time to be commissioned out to cast out demons in whatever way that looks like, then it's time. But don't be premature. Like, you know, if you're zealous to see people free, and so you just start a ministry, but God hasn't said it's not time to start the ministry yet, you know, you're trying to skip past the wilderness process, maybe, then that can be dangerous simply because you're stepping out of God's will. So that's an example right there. And just another example is of how it can be improper is just going outside the principles of God when it comes to authority. The more we can understand this principle of authority, like what I was just explaining, the more there will be order, the more there will be order in the church and unity in the body of Christ, that we are on the same page. Like, this is how authority works. Let's do it the biblical way. Let's do it the way Apostle Peter did it. You know, let's not try to make up our own ways to cast out demons, because the anointing is quite rare today. And a lot of it has to do with God doesn't just hand it out anywhere. You have to be trusted by God and do things God's way. That's one of the reasons. But the anointing is quite rare today. And so as the anointing's been rare, people have tried to find other ways to cast out demons. So there can be sometimes kind of like wrong doctrine of casting out demons because we're trying to find a way to make demons go without the anointing. And that's can be dangerous and just going out of order.
Absolutely. You know, I want to talk about some of the healings that you've experienced or you've seen as a result of the ministry, especially with mental illness and autism and things like that. We'll talk about that in a second. But what you were just talking about brings me to something that you and I were talking about before. It's that the transformation in the body of Christ. It seems that what you're saying is, you know, things are out of order and it needs to be brought back into order. So the transformation is not necessarily a transformation and changing it into something totally new, but it's to get back to where it should be. Yes. Can we expound on that a little bit?
Yes. So before Jesus returns, the bride has to be ready. The bride has to be prepared, radiant, pure, spotless. And what does that look like, right? What does that look like? Well, in the book of Acts, we have our biblical example, the blueprint of what church is supposed to be like, look like, operate, the structure of it. And to be honest, if you like really read the book of Acts with the lens of like, is this what church looks like today? By and large, it doesn't. By and large, there's been a veering off, you know, We don't see the fivefold ministry by and large. Mainstream Christianity should be having the fivefold ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, Ephesians 4:11, it says that Jesus gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as gifts to the church. And the purpose of these gifts was to equip, build up the body, mature the believers so that they would no longer be immature, they wouldn't be deceived, but they would be mature, powerful vessels of God. And it says that this will continue until we come to the fullness of Jesus, you know, that we are complete and whole in Jesus. That won't be until he returns that we have reached this wholeness, completeness, you know, the bride being radiant and pure. Right. So that means that apostles and prophets are supposed to still be here. It means that the equipping and edifying and the word of God coming through the apostles and prophets is supposed to be here for the believers. And if we don't have those, we're missing almost half of God's edifying, nutrient giving in the spiritual realm system. And so that answers the question is why so many believers are being beaten up by the devil, are not walking in victory, our babies who still need milk. But what we're supposed to be is victorious over the enemy, that we are mature believers. And then we can go forward from that. We can go higher to where now we can help others. We can be anointed, powerful vessels of God that can now help others. Like that's supposed to be all believers. Yeah. And that we're not seeing too much. And a big reason is because we're missing God's main structure of the church and way of equipping and teaching and releasing anointing to the believers. So that's one area that there needs to be transformation in, that apostles and prophets would be accepted today, not just by the minority, but this is what church looks like by and large. And we're also missing the power of God and the anointing by and large. We're also missing the ministry of deliverance and healing. These should not be minority ministries. These should not be once a year or quarterly conferences of deliverance and healing. But when we see the ministry of Jesus, every time he was preaching, he was also casting out demons. He was also healing the sick. Yeah. And when he gives the great commission to the disciples, when he commissions them, when he instructs them of what they're supposed to do now, he says, preach that the kingdom of God is at hand and heal the sick and cast out demons. They're all together. So we got to see that in the church today. That's how God wants it to be, because there are so many people oppressed and sick. Yeah. That's actually a work of the devil. It's not just like, oh, this is just how it is on this world. We got to wait till heaven. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. By his stripes, we are healed. It says in the word. And he said that he came to bring us abundant life. And he doesn't mean only when we get to heaven. We are given an inheritance from God now, and all that he has, which is healing and freedom from the enemy's grip. That's ours now. It's time we receive it. And without the church being in order in how God wants it to be, like the Acts church, believers don't know. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. They don't know that this free gift is available for them, and they're missing out.
Yeah.